Good morning. 6:36 on June the 24th. Yeah, yesterday was a grim day. To begin with, I slept till 7. And when I got up, I thought I was going to barf. I just felt crappy. Sicky sick. Not, you know, like bone sick or arthritis sick. Just sick. Ooh. 16-minute mile. That wasn't bad considering I wasn't really pushing this morning. I am trying to get back. I need to get back before 7, so I've got time to get a shower and change out of my stinky old clothes and put on some fresh clothes for Monday. I've got therapy at 8, so I have to roll at 7. Today's also the day the elder daughter goes to her orientation at university. She'll be spending the night there, coming home tomorrow, which means this morning, after I get back from orientation, so I get back from therapy at 9, I'll have a ridiculously quiet house because I'll be the only one in it, which means I'm coming for you, Greedock. We're gonna have it out. Today, butt in chair, fingers on keys, and we're gonna do it. We're gonna do this thing. Yeah. So, a couple comments from people. I think it was Shauna. I may have that right, or not. The question was, how did this Greedock story come about? Why am I writing Greedock? Well, the answer is, I was asked to. Some time ago, like 2011, Scott Stigler had this idea to get various people to write backstories for his secondary characters in the Galactic Football League universe. And he had specific people in mind for specific stories. And the one he wanted me to write was Greedock. Now, at the time when he asked, it was like, oh, sure, this sounds like fun, we can do this. But that was before things started falling apart with Raiden. That was before things started falling apart with my body. And it was years before he finally got me the story Bible that I needed so that I could actually work on the story. In part because he was working with one writer at a time and trying to get his process down so that each incremental writer would have it a little bit easier. And I have to say that the story points, the stuff that he gave me was quite explicit, quite good, largely incomplete, and in large part because I'm required to make that stuff up, which is kind of the point of writing a backstory. So, yeah, we have this thing hanging open that's been hanging open for 2 years, and he's had problems, I've had problems, we all get problems. It's the nature of being a one person operation. Is that you really don't have anybody to blame but yourself, and when it goes bad you have to blame yourself, which doesn't always help, but it's the way it goes. Good morning. So yeah, that was that's how the story goes. And somebody, was it Sean? Sean and Shauna? Anyway, somebody suggested Goodfellas to watch the first bit of it on Netflix. It's not a bad idea. Morning. Haven't had a chance to do that yet, but that's not a bad idea. So yeah, the epiphany I had on Saturday to write more like Dr. Mercury than Ishmael Huang, that's been percolating away. I think it's about ready to bubble forth. The thing about Dr. Mercury was that I have a sort of theme. And I really need to have a theme. If I have a theme and I know how the story needs to work, for Dr. Mercury, I actually stated the theme on one of the lines. The main character, Don, whatever his name was, the erstwhile hero who kept getting beaten up. He actually said something along the lines of, she cannot be stopped by shame. And so, of course, she must be killed. Or she must be dealt with force. I didn't actually say she had to be killed, but she has to be stopped because she's a woman who cannot be stopped by shame. And in hindsight, in retrospect, given all the stuff that's going on right now, it seems sort of prophetic. So we have so many men who feel that it's their job to shame women into performing in ways that meet their stereotype. And of course, that's so bogus. Happy dog. So Greedock, I don't really have a theme. Greedock, I just have plot points. All right, part of it is I need to show that in his mind he's not evil. He's just doing what's necessary. And that really does underscore the problem with what I've written so far is that he hasn't had to do anything necessary. He hasn't had to really come to grips with the burden that he has as leader. Because as Quith leader, he has the responsibility not only for himself, but for his entire brood. And the workers and the warriors all look to him. It's not exactly a hive mind mentality, but it's certainly a hierarchical one, where the workers provide the labor, the warriors provide the muscle, the protection, and the leaders, Monk Po, the leaders provide the ideas. So the division of labor and the unit of consideration which for humans is the individual, for Quith has to be the brood. So a leader has to count on his workers to do the things that need to be done. He has to rely on the warriors to protect the brood. Not just the leader, but the whole brood. I'm pondering this sudden silence. I'm pondering because it occurs to me more than probably I need to be thinking about it. It occurs to me there's more than one way to tell Greedock's story, and that being in Greedock's head might not be the right answer. What if I told from Masal's point of view? Masal the Efficient is a broodmate of Greedock's. So somebody who's been with him from the beginning, and someone who would know the story of Greedock as part of it, as from the insider's perspective, from part of the gang from the get-go, as it were. He also has the alien point of view. It occurred to me that one of the problems I'm having is trying to get this be alien without being a human in a bug suit. I wonder if I told it from... Well, I can't really tell it from the bodyguard's point of view, because the bodyguards come and go. They change. He has a human bodyguard at the point where he takes over the syndicate. His name is Bobby Probst, which I believe is a Sigler fan, and who got named because he won a contest or something.
Morning.
Good morning. The problem is Bobby wasn't around when Greedock got his name. So I've got to have Greedock getting his name, which happens about a century before he actually takes over the the Syndicate and the Krakens. And it doesn't help that the Krakens don't exist when Greedock starts out. The idea of taking over the Krakens is something that has to come later in his life. Oh, it's Monday. There's the moor. Or is so big it wouldn't, I don't think it would fit on my lawn. I know it wouldn't fit on my lawn. It would fit between the trees. So anyway, yeah, Greedock. I need a theme. Actually, I don't need a theme. Yeah, I do need a theme, but I think I have one. Well, it's a little over 17 minutes for the second mile. Not a great day, but not a bad day. 33 and a half minutes total. I'll take it. So, with that, tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.